We can't hear anything.
Let me switch microphones.
Yes, that might be a good idea.
Son of a bitch!
I heard that!
A wild Donna has appeared!
Right. I choose you!
From Order of Tear here with Jordan B. Sanders.
Yo.
And Mike the Hammer Cake Ludzinski.
What is up?
As always.
Beatrice.
yeah. So anyways, today we are going to be talking about more top threes. First on the list, we've got best old school video games. Who wants to start?
Not it.
Okay, I'll start.
Wait, hold on, pause. What is old school?
Well, I'm thinking of things from my childhood, but I don't necessarily know how long ago that was.
Okay.
It was a long time ago.
Okay, whatever. That's cool.
For me.
N64 PS1.
Okay, that's
what, yeah. Okay. This is when only Sega and Nintendo existed.
Okay.
Well, in America. Well, no, that's not even true, but yeah.
America!
You guys are making this too complicated. I don't know that.
Man, I want to pick some TurboGrafx-16 games, damn it.
Not really. But no, seriously.
All right, so first on my list, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Maria.
Yep. It would have to be number one for me. After that, I bet no one else has played this game but me, but Cool Spot.
Oh, I've played that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
you were on a video game podcast, man.
Like, yeah.
That was a sweet one, little 7-Up guy running through. That game was hard.
Oh, yeah. I think I rented that one on Genesis.
I could not get past, like, level 3. But that doesn't mean I didn't try all the time. And then my other one was Mario Brothers.
Oh, wait, okay. Mario Brothers or Super Mario Brothers?
Oh, no.
Ooh, I don't even know the difference. How would I tell?
Did you play it on the NES? Oh, okay. Was it the game that came with the NES?
I could not tell you.
Did you run and jump and grab mushrooms and go down pipes and then...
Yes.
And jump on flagpoles and things like
that? I did.
That's Super Mario Brothers.
Okay, well, then Super Mario Brothers. Awesome. I don't think I've ever even played Mario Brothers in that case.
Have you ever played Super Mario Brothers 3?
No.
Okay, because there's like a versus minigame in that, and that's actually the original Mario Brothers game. It was like a competitive game where it was just all one screen, and like you ran across on pipes, and there were turtles and stuff, but basically the point was to beat the crap out of the other person. Or I don't even remember exactly how it goes, but there's that super in the title does distinguish which game it is, believe it or not.
Mm. I knew I didn't know that much about video games. Now I'm finding I know even less.
Yeah, but you're talking to guys who like basically live video games for the past 20 plus years.
Yeah, basically.
True. Well, you guys can smoke me even more on the new school video games because I've played even less since then.
Awesome.
I don't know. We might have a conflict there, Jables.
Yeah. I'm certain we do, at least on probably 2/3 of it.
Yeah.
So, you want to go first? Or you want me to go first on this guy?
I'm sitting here looking at all my games thinking. So, these aren't really in any order. I'm just kind of naming these, but... Of course, Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, I like that one, too.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I would say that is the last freaking awesome Sonic side scroller that was just tits. What was I thinking? Oh, Mega Man 3. Just because I love the music in Mega Man 3, it makes me moist.
And it's always nice to play. Oh, you should play it. Mega Man is a really good series, but the thing about 3 was, like, coming off of how darn hard 2 is, 3 was like a walk in the park.
Yeah.
I feel like I should play it after listening to our music.
Yeah, you definitely should.
Yeah, if for no other reason than to hear the music, it's totally worth it for that.
Yeah,
yeah, there's so many video games I need to play now because of our music.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, I recognize that.
Totally.
And, Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yeah, Donkey Kong. I forgot about that
game. Because, once again, I'm going to pick that as my favorite Donkey Kong Country because I like pirate music. And what do you know? It's about pirates. So, yeah.
Most awesome. Okay, so my picks are going to be completely different than yours. I think that goes to the difference in the kind of games that we like to play, at least like the older games. So my first pick would be, and I know you like this game though, but Super Mario RPG.
Oh,
which is an incredible, incredible game. You know, well, Square made it, and that was like the height of their awesome game making time. And you know, it really came out in that game. And
what is RPG?
Role playing game.
Okay, that's what I thought it was, but I was like, this is an old school video game?
Yeah, it's on Super Nintendo.
Huh.
Yeah, and it's really different. I mean, it's so different than all of the other Mario games up to that point. And really, I'd say much since, but the Paper Mario series is kind of...
I don't know. I wouldn't, yeah. I mean, I played the first Paper Mario, and I played Super Mario RPG, and they're kind of...
No, I'm not saying they're the same. I'm saying that the way that the Paper Mario series is different from, like, the mainline Mario
games. Yeah. Okay.
It's kind of the same. Like, Super Mario RPG was the first Mario game that came out that was kind of different in that way.
It was just so epic. Like, I can't really put my finger on what was so epic about it, but it was just...
I mean, you got to kind of see how all of the lands, where it takes place, connected. And that's something you never saw in any Mario game previous to it, you know? Mm-hmm. You always had, like, self-contained levels, basically. Well, I guess you could argue that, like, Super Mario World, you got to see that. But you didn't really interact with, like, the map in Super Mario World. But, like, in Super Mario RPG, you actually, you know, kind of controlled where you were going.
Yeah. And I guess it was kind of cool. It's always cool to me when a villain... And the main character of whatever's the story is, they kind of team up against some similar interest.
Oh yeah, especially when you know to that point, nothing like that. I mean, to that point, you had never even known that Bowser was anything but purely evil. And right. I mean, not to say that he isn't, but especially in some more the more recent games, he doesn't seem like super evil so much so as just. You know, a dude trying to do what he wants to do, mm-hmm. and Mario keeps messing with his crap.
What do you even do in the RPG game? I don't understand the goal.
Our album cover is an RPG.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, in general, in role-playing games, it's a story. You know, a lot of games have stories, but generally, RPGs have really deep, intertwined stories, like all the characters have backstories, why they are in the world they are, where they came from, what their history is, how they interact with other characters, you know, how all these two characters have known each other, they grew up together, so they really know each other really well, but this other person they only met when they were in some academy, so, and he's just a butthead, and all he does is just, you know, has all this knowledge, and he takes out his repressed, you know, social frustrations on everybody else. You know, really deep stories like that, you know, really detailed characters and really immersive storylines. And basically what you do is you run around and you have battles and you do battles so that you can gain more skills and gain more experience so that you can get more powerful and basically resolve the story, because, you know, generally there are a bunch of boss battles, and then there's a final boss battle that you have to be, like, really strong to take down this guy or this thing. And if you haven't had enough experience for that point, then you can't do it.
Is that what World of Warcraft is like?
Yes. But on a completely different scale than, like, a standalone role-playing game. But yeah. So that's definitely one of my favorite games of all time, just because it was such a different Mario experience, and a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other picks. These aren't probably as easy for me to say, because, you know, there are a lot of games that I really like, and it's hard to rank, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So saying that these are necessarily the top three, these are like three games that I really like. So I have to say, and I just beat this game again the other day, Contra on NES. The game is so darn hard if you're not using the Konami code, or if you're not just plain cheating. So save states are cheating if you're not using save states. But it's a really cool game, especially if you're playing it with somebody else, because it was, you know, kind of one of the first games where there was a really interactive multiplayer experience. And I mean, I know there were other multiplayer games before then, but just the fact that you were both running around, you know, shooting these guys and then aliens towards the end, it's just, I don't know, it was a different experience than most other games. And it's really fast, you know, for its time. So I thought that was a really good game. Enjoy
it. Let me ask you this. Do you guys normally use codes when you play games?
No.
So you normally try to beat them just playing?
I used to when I was younger and I sucked at video games. And I mean, I still suck at video games, but I at least try to do it without cheating now.
Yeah, because the thing is, when you do use codes, like, to me, when you use codes like that, it's just you're circumventing some of the gameplay mechanics, and some of the whole argument that video games can be art, I think, gets pushed to the side when you do things like use cheat codes, because you're not experiencing the game in the context that the designers and developers intended you to.
Well, didn't they build in those codes?
Sometimes it's not. I mean, if you use something like a Game Genie, it's like you're altering. Man. Yeah.
I had one of those for every console.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was the biggest cheat.
What's a Game Genie?
Dude, it's basically this thing that you plug onto, like, you plug into the console, and then you plug the cartridge into that. It looks like another cartridge. And you can enter these number codes, and they do things like give you infinite lives or make you jump a million miles in the air. It alters the game.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And the developers had nothing to do with those, huh?
Right.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, a lot of the times, or not a lot of times, some of the cheat codes weren't intended to be in the final release. It's stuff they put in there for development and for, like, testers, so they could skip around pretty easily, but they may have forgotten to take it out before they released it.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But there are some that were intended to be in there, but I don't think their intent is for you to use that immediately. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with using them in general, but specifically, I think there's absolutely nothing wrong using them if you've already played the game, you've beaten it, and you just want to experience the game in a different way. I think it adds a lot of replay value to games when you do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, depending on the game and what the code is, but so.
There's no way I would ever beat a game without using cheat codes. Not in a million years.
I used to be the same way, seriously.
You would. If you, like, seriously sat down and played games, like, every day, you would get to the point where it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
That would take some commitment on my part. I don't think I'm quite ready for that. If I hang out with you guys long enough, I'll get that.
No, that's understandable. I mean, it's one of those things where at this point in our lives, it's hard to find the time to do it, and there are other things that are so pressing that it's, you know, is it worth the time to take to do it?
Indeed.
But yeah, so a third game that I could pick. This is hard because I don't even really know what to say. So we're saying Super Nintendo is probably the limit on that. I don't really know. I have so many games that I do really like. Wow, that's really hard.
That's what she said.
I'm going to say Donkey Kong Country, the original one, because Nintendo made this video, like a promo video. It was like a 15-minute video for it, and they
said, oh, yeah.
Did you have one of those?
Dude, I had one of those. I had one of those for that and for Star Fox and for N64.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know they made them for anything but Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah. That was a pretty cool video, though.
I don't know how I got it, but I got a hold of it, and I remember watching it, like, every single day from the day that I got it until, like, the day that the game came out and I got the game. And it hyped me beyond... Of course, I was really young at the time, but it hyped me beyond belief.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And, man, I love that game so much. And it looks so different than any game that had come out before and any other game that was out at the time. And this the music, obviously, David Wise, genius. I mean, we've always, you know, we're always talking about how awesome his music is. But just the whole ambience that it gives... gives the game, and just the feel, the whole package is just, you can tell that they really wanted to make something special when they made that game, and I think they did.
Yeah.
Plus the boss music at the end, I mean, Gangplank Galleon, that's one of the best video game songs ever.
Definitely.
Ever.
Sweet. All right, moving on. Best new school video games. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. So for only picking three, I know what the three they are, and I've talked about them before at length, I'm sure.
I have backups in case you blow over my list.
I'm going to have some honorable mentions for newer video games too, just because there's so many games that I really like now. Especially because games are so much more, detailed and in depth than they previously were, and that kind of hooks me a lot. But and I know this one's going to run over one of yours, and this is really two games, but it's one game, and it's the Portal series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because without spoiling it, or going into too much of to spoilers, but it's one of those things where you play the first game. And you think it's one thing for the first half of the game, and then it turns out that it's completely not what you think it is. And it's one of the biggest twists, one of the biggest twists I've ever experienced in a game. And it's one of those things where, like, did that really just happen? It's one of those things, after you've finished the game, you know that it was intended for that twist to happen and for you to do what you did. But while you're doing it, you're like, wait a second, maybe I'm just really cheating the game here. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be like this.
Is that one of those story games where you walk through, like, a story?
Well, it's not exactly. It's more like you're... So the first Portal game, you wake up in this chamber, and it's there's this computer talking to you, and you're basically running a science experiment. You're inside of a science experiment. And so they're testing humans on solving puzzles, basically, with this portal gun. So it's a gun that can shoot two portals. And then, so you shoot two portals, you go in one, you come out the other. And that's all there is to the game, really. So you just have to solve a bunch of puzzles. So you come into a room, you have to find the exit to the room using the portal gun. And the puzzles they come up with are really, really cool. And in the second game, they just go all out. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. And so there's not really a whole lot of story per se, but there is a little bit.
That's interesting. I've never played a game like that.
It's definitely worth a play.
It is absolutely worth playing Portal.
Yeah. Yeah, I know people who don't really play video games that really, really liked that game.
Hmm. Do they have it for Wii?
No, actually.
That's all I have.
Oh, no, you have a Mac. You can play it on your Mac.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can
do that.
Get it.
How much is it? It's not that
expensive. It's probably like $10.
If that.
Dude.
Yeah, let's see here.
Looking into that.
Yeah, totally, because Portal is an awesome, awesome game. It'll probably, you'll have to play it with a mouse, because there's no way you could play it. You would be able to play it without a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
But $9.99, yeah, is how much it is on Steam.
Sweet.
It'll probably take you a while to get used to playing like a first-person game like that with a mouse and a keyboard. That's normal. But once you get used to it, the puzzles really draw you in, because you have to use your brain to solve them. You know, some puzzles, it's just, you know, you keep trying something until something happens. But these, you have to really think about what's going on and how to do it.
That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it really is a good game. I mean, both of them, and the writing in the games. So the computer talks to you, and there's a lot of humor in it, but it's kind of, it's almost deadpan, and it's really dark humor, and you just have to experience it for yourself. And then the second game is just what was awesome about the first game to like the nth degree.
Sweet.
Yeah.
But I say let's go around for this the modern ones, because it seems weird when we just list our all three at the same time.
Agreed. I was just thinking that same exact thought.
Do you want to go, Donna?
No, I think you should go.
Oh, snap!
Nah, man, that sucks, because I know you're gonna take one of mine too. So whatever, go ahead and do it.
No, I'm not gonna be that brutal. But I am gonna say The Legend of Zelda: The Ocarina of Time.
Oh, dude, yes.
Oh, that's Mike's favorite game, too. My Mike.
That is an excellent, excellent game.
Yeah, it is. That was like the big Zelda jump from, I guess, well, not really 2D, but yeah, 2D to 3D, I guess.
Is there any Zelda in our music?
Not yet, I don't think.
Not yet.
I don't think so either. Because I've heard Mike playing that game a lot, and I never recognized anything. When is that going to happen?
I was wanting to use something, but I didn't want to tell Mike what I was going to use, but now it may be spoiled.
Keep that on the DL, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those game series that's just so big, we have to use something from it eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but I honestly don't really know what it is about that game, because, I mean, there have been multiple Zeldas since then, but for some reason, it's just, like, the general mood of that game, and it's one of those games where, as when you become adult Link, like, I actually felt like I grew up, and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, just something about the progression of that game, like, as you keep on going, I always felt like I was really, really accomplishing something. And then by the end, I felt like I was this badass and I was ready to destroy Ganon, which I did.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where you're talking about a game that takes place over the period of longer than a decade.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty epic in and of itself.
And of course, the
time
whole
travel,
time
dude.
Travel thing is what kind of makes me happy down there, and so, you know, it's just kind of like everything excellent rolled into one.
And then the music's incredible. So.
Yeah, the music is incredible.
I definitely used to get it stuck in my head all the time because I'm in the house singing it, and I was like, I don't even play that game.
I remember when I first got the ocarina, I thought that was so freaking awesome that you could play an instrument in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And you actually had to know the music or whatever, or otherwise you couldn't do whatever you were trying to do.
And then, like, the music affected the world around
right,
you.
Right, exactly. I don't know, man. Just freaking everything. I mean, it's the Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, if you don't understand why we love that game, then you need to go play that game.
Yeah. Which I did have the gold cartridge, but I no longer do. I'm kind of sad about that. But, yeah. Anyway.
I've never been able to get into a game like that. I'm the kind of person that has to be able to pick it up and know how to play it immediately without learning anything about the game, or else I get bored and leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been like that recently. There have been very, very few games that have actually kept my attention for very long.
I'm a shallow video game player. Sorry, guys.
No. It takes all kinds.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess unless you're not finished, Mike, should I?
No, cruise on. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Mario Kart for Wii. Such a sweet game. I'm addicted to that game. We've been having Mario Kart parties at my house. I was so horrible at it. The first time I played, I spent the majority of the time trying to figure out how to go in the right direction. but I've gotten a little better since then. It was still addictive, even when I couldn't go the correct direction. But yeah, that'd have to be my favorite as of right now.
Yeah, Mario Kart's a really good series.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart. Mario. Super Mario Brothers. All right, so, man, I know this one's going to step on you, too. That's why I don't want to say it, but I have to say it.
Just do it. Get it over with. I like it hard and deep. Oh.
Whoa. All
right, so another one of my favorite games is new games is BioShock.
You bet.
I knew I was going to say that. The gameplay itself is really, I mean, it's some cool mechanics in it. The fact that you can, you know, change your genetics to be able to, you know, shoot lightning or move things telepathically is pretty crazy.
What kind of game is that?
It's a first-person shooter game. Basically, you're this guy. How the game starts, you're like on this airplane, and this is back in what, the 60s, and
something like that.
I think like early 60s, and you're on this airplane, and you look down, and it's like you have like a birthday present, and there's a card says something like you were meant for special to do amazing things or something like that, and then the plane crashes like with you on it. But you survive it, and then like it's so crazy because the opening cutscene is like very short. I mean, it's like maybe 30 seconds, less than a minute, almost certainly. And so basically, the plane goes down into the water, and then you see yourself. Because like the whole cutscene's first person, and you can't control it, but it's all first person. And then you see like the propeller coming down in the water, and you're like you're floating down in the water. And then like you come floating back up, and you see like a pearl necklace and like all kinds of stuff, just like, you know, floating in the water from all the other people. And then you come up above the water, and you're just floating at the top of the water, and you can see the plane on fire and the flames reflecting off of the water. And the thing that is so striking to me the first time I played that game is I sat there and I was watching to see what was going to happen next, and nothing happened. And I kept watching. I was like, what the heck? And then I realized, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be controlling it now. It's like you can't even tell where the cutscene ends and like when you're supposed to start playing it. So the graphics are like really, really good.
And, oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, and then so it turns out like you see this big obelisk type thing sticking up out of the water. You're in the middle of the ocean. And so you swim over toward it and you walk up on it, and it has stairs, and then you go inside, and then you get into this sphere that takes you down into the water. And so there's this whole city underwater, basically. And so you have to figure out, you know, what's up with this city, what's going on. And like people are going nuts. It's just hard to explain without you actually playing it, but the story in the game, like when you finally find out what's going on and you realize, you know, what you're doing there and all this kind of stuff, it's just amazing. It's one of the craziest moments in a video game I can ever remember experiencing.
Like Sixth Sense crazy.
Oh, it's no, seriously, in my opinion, the way that it builds up to it and the way that you experience it makes the Sixth Sense pale in comparison.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Because instead of, you know, watching like an hour and a half, then realizing, oh, what the F? It's like you just put like whatever, 10, 15 hours into it, however long it is. Yeah. And then it's like, oh yeah? Right.
And you're not a ghost, by the way. Mm-hmm. But
where are you?
Spoiler.
But it's a really good game. And everybody was telling me, like, I'd started the game like three or four times, but I got busy and didn't get to finish it. And everybody kept telling me, you need to play this game. You need to play this game. Have you beat it yet? You need to play it. Has anybody spoiled it for you? I was like, no.
And I'm like, shocked, really. That you
I know.
That spoiled.
I'm so happy. If I had, dude, oh, man.
That would ruin the whole game.
Oh, yeah, it would be no point in playing it. But really, really, really good game. Really good story.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. I guess since you're going with the newer stuff, I'm going to go a little bit older. I'm going to... Oh, I know this game isn't on your list. Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I never even played that game, so...
Yeah. It's a 3D Sonic game, and a lot of people would argue, especially Sonic fanboys, that it's just, you know, a load of crap because Sonic's supposed to be 2D. He's not supposed to have green eyes. He's too tall in that game. Blah, blah, blah.
Do people really argue about that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my word.
Sonic fanboys are the biggest bitches on the internet. Like, quite literally. Yeah. You get on any gaming website, any gaming community, whatever, and they just sit there and they bash every Sonic fanboy known to man. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this. The thing about this game, like, the first Sonic Adventure, when that came out, it was awesome. Like, they had that at Toys R Us before Dreamcast came out, and I would literally go there, like, constantly to play it, to play this game. Over and over and over again. Yeah, it was kind of nauseating. But anyway, the first one hasn't aged very well. It has lots of camera issues and just, it's meh. But the second one, I feel like, is a much better game. It's a much more solid game. It's the first game where Sonic could grind on rails, which is just so metal. And speaking of metal, all the music is just like this heavy 80s hair metal rock stuff.
And it heck just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
The 80s was a great time for music.
Most definitely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
This game screams 80s / like early 90s.
What game console did you play that on?
Dreamcast.
Oh, right.
And it is also out on GameCube, which means you can play it on Wii if you so desire.
Yes.
Yes.
I love Sonic. Sonic is near and dear to my heart because it was the first video game I ever played.
Exactly. but yeah, I think it's the best 3D Sonic game. From there, it just kind of started going downhill. Once they made Shadow the main character and gave him a gun. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, my second one and... actually, my last one, because I've only played two video games in the last several years, is the Super Mario for Wii.
The new Super Mario Brothers?
I assume so, but it sounds like there are more than I know about, so...
The side-scroller one?
I don't know what that means.
you run left or right on the screen, always?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, okay, so yes. That's the new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah, I really like the two-player. I think it's so freaking sweet that you can pop yourself into a bubble when you're about to die. Because I spend the time about to die, so. Mm-hmm. It works out in my favor.
Yeah, that's...
But it's hard to play it with more than two. We tried that once, and it was just a big mess. Everyone was like... jumping on top of each other's heads and dying just because we couldn't get out of each other's way. So I would not recommend it for more than two people.
Oh yeah, I've definitely played that with people. And most of these people were intoxicated, which made it even more interesting.
Gets sure. Pretty crazy.
Mm. Yeah. I for that game, you know, the Wii has a whole lot of games where the motion control is really gimmicky, and that one was sort of like that, but I think it kind of made sense in context. It was pretty cool how you use the, you know, shake the controller basically to, like, if you have the propeller cap thing.
Yeah. That's both playing both Mario Kart and Super Mario, I would like to have some of that on video because I'm sure we could mega stupid. Shake controllers all over the place.
We should make a clock of this.
We should... What?
You're cutting out again.
Dadgummit.
Oh, that's better.
We should make a clog of us playing Mario.
How would we pull that off, though?
I don't know, but we should.
We'll have to figure it out. Okay, do I even need to say what my third one is? I think it goes without saying.
You have to remind me after you're gone.
So, and actually, this is funny because this is actually pretty fortuitous because we have information that goes along with this.
Ooh.
But yeah, my favorite game of all time is I guess quote unquote newer game according to our categorization, and it's Silent Hill 2 for the PS2.
I knew it. I'm amazed I knew that, but yes, I knew that.
Yeah, I've already said a lot about the game, and I may or may not be having videos in the future saying a lot about that game, but I can't even begin to describe how that game has affected me just on so many different levels. It's not even funny. It's just all around an extremely immersive and engaging experience, and I feel like I overhype the game a lot, and it's the only game where I feel like when I do that, I'm like, I don't care, because it just is that awesome to me, and playing through it the first time was just incredible. It was the whole reason that I wanted to get a PS2. I didn't care about anything else. I didn't pay attention to news about any other games. I didn't care about anything other than I needed to get a PS2 so that I could play Silent Hill 2. And I was not... Son, I was not disappointed. So, that's hands down my favorite game of all time. And I'm probably too jaded and cynical at this point for anything else to take that spot. So that's probably going to be it forever.
Wow.
But yeah. Really good game. If you haven't played it, play it. You don't have to play the first game. You don't have to play any other games after it to get into it. You just need to play Silent Hill 2. That's all I'm going to say about that. So the news about that, a hot tip from the Hammer K, and I confirmed Konami, they're the company that makes, publishes Silent Hill. They had a press conference tonight, and they are doing an HD remake of the Silent Hill series. And the only news I could find was that it's for certain includes Silent Hill 2 and Silent Hill 3. I don't know if it includes the first one or not, but I would imagine that it does. And I don't really care if it includes the first or third ones. I just need to know that it includes the second one. And it does. And that's incredible. And my wallet's already open. I just don't know where to throw the money.
There's also a PlayStation Vita exclusive.
Oh, that's right. That's what they're calling that thing, huh?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Wait. What's the exclusive?
A Silent Hill game.
Oh, you piece of crap. Don't tell me that, junk.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to spend $800 on a portable gaming console or platform so that I can...
Apparently,
apparently what? You cut out. I need to know this information.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Okay. Tell me.
Apparently, they're reducing the amount of RAM and some other junk so that they can lower the cost. Because apparently...
$500?
What did they say it was going to cost?
I don't know. All I know is that this thing has a touch screen on the front and back. What?
Yeah, so I don't know. That's the last I heard. I'm sure it'll say next week.
All I know is that they probably announced the price. Somebody laughed and they immediately said, oh, we're changing this so that the price can be... lower.
Right.
Man, I didn't need to hear that crap about... I don't... I don't like exclusives.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's my third pick, Silent Hill 2.
Mm.
Awesome game.
Yes. Awesome
game.
I think we've established this, Jabba, to you.
All I know is that no matter whatever happens in my life, if I am in a situation like a Silent Hill situation, and I have to empty my pockets, including my flashlight, to get into a rickety elevator and to go in the basement of a hotel, I'm just going to kill myself. I'm not doing it.
As you can guess, this happens in the game.
You have this flash. So most of the game's like really dark, right? So you have this flashlight so you can see stuff. And towards the end of the game, you have to go into the basement of this hotel to get an item. And the elevator only allows a certain weight. And like you get in it with all your items, and it makes this really annoying sound, and it doesn't go anywhere. And there's a shelf, and you have to empty your entire inventory into the shelf, including your flashlight, so that you can go down into the basement. And you can't see jack shit.
Oh, man.
It is so scary.
No, thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, good game, though.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. Which I just played that a few months ago. But it's definitely a thing that everybody should play. Oh, I dream about it every night. I cry. I pee. Yes, just like that.
I feed off of it now. It's gotten to be like that for me.
Let's see. My list sucks now because you took all the good games. This is where I would normally insert BioShock, but since that's already been inserted somewhere else,
I'll show you where you can insert.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's already inserted there, bro.
Yeah, I think it's been there ever since you played it.
Okay. I'm going to go with Star Fox 64.
Man, I still haven't even played that one.
Dude. Yeah, best ones, hands down. It's the first game with the Rumble Pack. Oh, that was another game that they released one of those Nintendo Power video things for, and they made a huge deal. It's like, the Rumble Pack! It was this whole video. It had this dude that had a Sony shirt on and a dude that had a Sega shirt on, a dude that had a Nintendo shirt on, and they kidnapped the Nintendo dude, and they were talking about what they were gonna do with their consoles or whatever, and then Nintendo guy's like, yeah, we have the Rumble Pack, and it's just this most ridiculous like zoom in. He's like fist pumping it in the air, you know. it's great. But yeah, so that was the first, I guess, what was it? Force feedback in a game. But yeah, that I got every single thing there was to get in that game.
I think the only Star Fox games I've played, I played the original one on the Super Nintendo, and then I played a little bit of Star Fox Adventure, and I think that's it.
That doesn't really count.
Well... I mean, it says Star Fox in the title, and if yeah. You play as Star Fox.
Yeah, and the newest one, the Assault, is that what it's called? Assault, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're halfway in the R-Wing, and then some of it's you're on the ground, some of it's you're on foot, and I don't know. Star Fox 64 was just like the last one where it's pretty much mainly focused on air combat and stuff.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, and it was cool because there were you could go different ways in the level, and depending on which way you went, you know, you'd get a better rating, and you'd fight a different boss, and the story would end up differently depending on which way you go, and all.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so there were multiple endings to that game.
That's pretty cool.
Very nice. So in the meantime, I thought of a third game that I've played in like 4 years. Donkey Konga.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Oh, man.
I got that game, and I played it with sticks, and I raped it.
Dang! Well, I wasn't that good, but I was top banana quite a few times.
Top.
I was totally stoked.
Oh,
nice. I even had a little, top banana... victory song and dance, I think.
That's
but, yeah.
Awesome. I think that's I played that game in Circuit City once.
So fun.
That's hilarious.
I liked it a lot more than the guitar game.
Mm-hmm. Whatever that. The Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's just too complicated for me.
I'm not
Plus, a huge... guitar shouldn't have buttons.
No, I'll agree with that. I don't know. I can't get into the whole Guitar Hero rock band thing.
Yeah, the only thing I do is just sing. I can kind of fake my way through the guitar stuff and kind of the drum stuff, but yeah.
I don't like the drums.
Me neither.
It makes me feel like I don't know how to play drums.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. The first time I sat down at that crap, I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, so I have to say some more games. this game, I don't think you've played this yet, Mike, and you need to play this game, and I'm gonna get on your ass about it.
Oh.
Braid.
I've played it.
You beat it?
I haven't beat it, but I played it.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. If you haven't beaten it, you haven't played it. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. Yeah.
Have you had it spoiled for you?
No.
Okay, don't. Play it. It's one of those things when you get to the end. Like, the end of the game, playing the end of the game is one of those... I mean, because, the puzzles in the game are kind of tricky, and they're just solving them in and of themselves is a lot of fun and really rewarding. But when you finally get to the end of the game and play through it, it's one of those things where, like, the last, 10 minutes of the game that you're playing, you're playing it with your eyes wide, and you're like, your mouth is open and your jaw's on the floor. You're like, really? It's really good. I mean, that's the best indie game I've ever played, I think. Yeah, I can't think of any better one. So, you need to play that game.
I have it on Steam. I need to play it.
You need to play it, brother. Yeah. I mean, it's not that long of a game. That's another one. Oh, I don't know if you could play that on Mac or not, but if you can, Donna, you should probably play that game. It's another, like, it's a platformer sort of like Super Mario Brothers, but it's basically puzzles. Instead of just trying to run through the level, you have to figure out how to collect all of these literal puzzle pieces, like jigsaw puzzle pieces, and then you have to fit them together into a picture for each world. But the really cool mechanic is that you can't die in the game.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can die, but there's a button that you have that reverses time.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's like if you fall down a hole and die, it just freezes, and then it waits until you hit that button and hold it long enough to come back out of the hole and back to where you were.
What's the point of that?
You play the game. Yeah, it sounds dumb, but it you just have to play it to understand it.
It just sounds weird that it would allow you to die at all if it's going to wait for you to reverse time.
But that's part of the way that the puzzles work, is controlling the flow of time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So it's a really good game. I mean, really, really good. I know I keep saying really, really good, but it is.
What was it called again?
Braid. Braid.
Braid.
It's cute. It has a cool art style to it, too.
Yeah, I think you'd probably like that. There's probably a million other games, and I know I was going to say about...
Man, while we're name-dropping, I mean, Max Payne.
Oh, dude, totally. That's, like, one of the best games ever made.
Wasn't that a movie?
No. No! It was never a movie. There was a movie called Max Payne, but that had nothing to do with the video game.
Okay.
No, it actually did have something to do with the video game, but it was so not like the video game. It just pisses me off. Because the video game's so good, and the movie's so bad.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
I still need to play that.
Man. Yes. It is one of the nastiest. Yeah. Just. Yes.
I have to say Resident Evil 2, because that was the first survival horror game I ever played. And I really like it. I really like how if you play as Leon, then you get to, and you beat it, you get to play as Claire taking the other path. Because, like, you can play as a guy or a girl, Leon or Claire, depending on which disc you use. And then at the beginning of the game, you guys get separated. But depending on who you're playing as, you're in a car and it has a wreck. And it blows up, so you're on opposite sides of the car. But depending on which one you pick, the car crashes the opposite direction. So... The first game, you're always playing out the same side, just it's a different character. But when you beat the game with that character, you can play going the other direction as the other character. So it's basically four games in one. And that was the first game I ever experienced something like that in, and how the stories interconnect, and you can see both sides of it. It's just really cool stuff. And it's, hey, zombies, man. Come on.
Yeah, like Call of Duty zombies, bro.
I don't want to hear anything. The phrase Call of Duty, the word zombies in the same sentence, dirty to me.
All right, the last final topic for this podcast is best TV series.
Is this like just one or top three?
Top three.
Okay.
Give us plenty to talk about.
It's your turn to go first, Mike.
So, and by top TV or CB, TV series, do you mean something that's current right now, still going on, or can it be something that's not?
No, it could be something that's over with.
I hope so, because I don't think I have any that are current, still going on.
Mother of Pearl. I'm going to try to pick something less popular.
You might step on my toes, though.
I'm going to go with Darkwing Duck.
Oh, sweet.
I don't know what it is about Darkwing Duck, but I freaking love Darkwing Duck. It's like DuckTales, except for big boys and big girls.
Darkwing Duck!
Yeah, and the intro is awesome. Man, we need to have an episode where we just talk about or reminisce about intros from the 90s and stuff.
Oh, yeah, dude, that totally needs to happen.
But yeah, Darkwing Duck, I just like his attitude. He's just a douchebag, but he's funny, and he saves people, and cool story.
He's Darkwing Duck. His name's Darkwing. I mean, come on, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
let's get dangerous.
And he's the voice of Winnie the Pooh. Did you know that?
What?
The guy who did the voice. That. Oh, what's his name?
You mean his name is not Winnie the Pooh?
No, his name is not Winnie the Pooh. I forgot. But and he's also the voice of Dr. Robotnik.
Jim Cummings?
Yes, yes, yes. He's done a lot of stuff.
Robotnik? Really?
Yeah, in the Saddam.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The guy who did the voice for Optimus Prime is also the voice for Eeyore.
That's so crazy, man.
I know. Doesn't that blow your mind?
Wow. The dude who does Harry Mason in the Silent Hill game, or the first Silent Hill game, also does... the dude from Diablo. What's his name? I haven't played that game very much. The main character in Diablo.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I found that out recently. That was amusing to me. Okay, so Donna or me? Which one?
Me.
Go.
I pick Donna.
Yes.
I choose you.
A wild Donna has appeared.
Bum, 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 bum. Oh, man, I can't sing. that song totally went in my head, though, that Pokemon cover that we heard today.
Yeah.
That song's so badass. Sorry, Donna, go ahead.
So I'm going to go with probably something that's on every single person in America's list. And I'm going to say The Office, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit that's not on my list.
Jordan.
Sorry.
Blasphemy.
Sorry.
It's on my list, Donna.
Okay, good.
Not that I don't enjoy watching that show. I think they're funny episodes, but, I don't know. It's getting to be an old shtick, I think. IMO.
I don't know what's going to happen when Steve Carell leaves. I haven't watched any of the newest season, but I fear for the future of The Office. Yeah. Next!
Okay, so I'm going to start out with my most popular one, and that would be The X-Files.
I forgot about The X-Files! How can I forget that?
It's really funny because when it was actually on TV, I only saw maybe one or two episodes, and Lindsay really sort of liked it, and so we started watching it from the beginning, and I got hooked really fast. I don't really like the Monster of the Week episodes, the one that like don't really tie into the main overarching story. But the mythology episodes are really cool, and the story that they build up over all 9 seasons is just really good. And the funny thing is, people talk about how the last couple seasons aren't any good because of Mulder isn't on it, and then Scully really isn't in it a whole lot. But I still think those episodes are really good because I really like John Doggett. But that's just
I like him too. I didn't like the female they got to replace.
No, I didn't like that. She was a little weird.
Yeah, but I got addicted to that show too, and it's you and Lindsay's fault.
It's a good series.
I know. Now we own the first 3 seasons, and we're gonna have to save our pennies to own the next 6.
Is it not on Netflix?
I don't know. I haven't actually checked.
Yeah, it's but a Fox like, thing. There are not many Fox things on there, or at least for a while there weren't.
Yeah, I feel like we can't own an incomplete series. I mean, just have the first 3. That would be silly.
I mean, it's the X-Files, so yeah.
Exactly.
You got to get them all. It's just like Pokemon. You got to collect them all or got to catch them all.
It's true. That's exactly right.
But yeah, I really like the X-Files. And just cool stuff. You know, government conspiracies, I'm all about that.
I guess it's my turn again.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'm going to go with another cartoon just because I like being different. Sonic Sat-Am.
What is that? Okay,
so this was a Sonic. There were 2 Sonic cartoons back in like 93, 94 or something like that. And one of them was really kid-oriented, and it was really goofy, and it was just like a goofy cartoon.
Sonic Says!
Yeah, it was called The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. And then there was another one that came on Saturday mornings, and it was just called Sonic the Hedgehog, and they called it Sonic Sat-Am because Saturday AM. But anyway, it's this really dark take on Sonic. It's one of those things that has like this big story going on the whole time, but each episode has little stories affecting the bigger story. But it's this, basically, it's Robotnik has had his way and he's taken over the planet except for where the Freedom Fighters, which are Sonic's team of dudes and dudettes and stuff, it's like a little city in the forest. That's the only place that Robotnik hasn't taken over. So everything is all dark and there are robots everywhere and, you know, people actually, they don't die, but they get roboticized, which, wow. So, and essentially, all the characters act like that person is dead, so it's hard to explain, just watch it. Okay. Okay, thanks, bye.
There are only 26 episodes.
Yeah, it came out at the worst possible time, which was when the Power Rangers first came out.
Ooh, Power Rangers!
And so, yeah, that came on at the same time as Sonic did. And so, yeah, it didn't make it past 2 seasons. And so at the end of the 2nd season, there's a huge cliffhanger, and it sucks bad.
A cliffhanger in a cartoon? I can't even imagine.
Yeah, like, this is serious business here. Like.
Okay, my 2nd favorite TV series is Reno 911. I actually went through a period of time where I only watched that for every time I sat down to watch TV. I watched that like over and over and over again.
That's pretty fun.
I still have not seen the movie.
It's pretty good. You should see it.
I need to see it because I like that series. I used to watch it a lot in college.
I was totally bummed though when they got rid of a couple of the characters and replaced them. It wasn't as funny after they got rid of those 2 characters.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen any of the episodes without them.
Yeah, I don't think they play them much on TV if you don't own the series, because I think it was pretty much agreed among everyone out there that it wasn't as good.
Yeah, that's probably why then. Yeah, that's a pretty funny series. I liked it. I mean, I liked it. It's one of those things where, like, if you grew up watching Cops, then that's just that much funnier.
Yep.
Oh, man.
All right, so I'm going to pick a more obscure, but not all that obscure series. And I don't know if this is going to step on your toes, Mike, or not, but I'm going to pick the IT Crowd.
I knew it! I knew it!
Thankfully, I have a backup.
Okay. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I didn't know if that would actually be on your list or not.
Yes.
Because it's just an awesome, awesome series. It's just so funny. If you've ever worked at a computer help desk, then you understand why it's funny. And a lot of the jokes, especially from Moss, like if you're into technology, it's jokes that are funny for people who don't understand what he's saying because you don't understand what he's saying, and that's the point of the joke. But it's even funnier when you know what he's saying, and then it's like, oh wow, that's actually is pretty funny. And so it's like two levels of humor, and I like things like that.
Is that a show that's still on, or?
Yeah, it's still on, but it's on BBC, so it's a British show.
Oh.
Yeah. So they have series instead of seasons, and the series are pretty short.
Yeah, when I first saw it, it said like season one, it was six episodes. Like, what the F?
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully, I think they're still doing new ones. I don't know, but I hope they do, man.
Pretty sure they are.
That's a really hilarious show. I know they were even talking about doing an American version of it, but I hope they don't, because like I don't.
Yeah, they made a pilot, but it didn't fly.
Okay. That makes me feel good. I mean, as long as they keep, you know, doing it over there across the pond, I'm cool. Once they start bringing stuff over here, they start Americanizing the humor, and that's when it sometimes ceases to be funny for me.
Yeah.
But IT Crowd, that's a hilarious show.
Definitely, I completely agree with it. I'm going to be kind of cliche and say something actually popular, and I'm going to say House.
Oh, I love that show.
I've never watched an episode of that show.
Yeah, it's awesome. Some of the things that happen in it are kind of pushing it a little bit.
well, that's for sure.
But House's wittiness is hilarious to me. It's like my exact kind of humor.
What kind of humor is that?
It's just really dry humor. He'll just like say something like in complete seriousness or / sarcasm.
And, yeah, lots of sarcasm.
Yeah, a ton of sarcasm. And a lot of the things that, as far as him solving cases and stuff, it's really cool how he figures things out. So, yeah.
I feel like they cast House perfectly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hugh Laurie is amazing.
For sure.
All right, my turn.
You got it.
I'm going to go with my third and final pick, and that is Arrested Development. No? No? Nobody's seen that one?
Nope.
Well, all I know is that whenever I start Netflix now, it always starts the first episode of the first season because it recommends it for me.
Oh, so, man.
I think I probably need to watch it.
Oh, God. It is so funny. And the more you watch it, the funnier it gets because they have a lot of running jokes that go, like, through all the seasons. And
I love it when they do that.
It's the most clever humor I've ever seen because half the time, you know, the other people in the room with you don't get what's going on or why it's funny.
Right.
And I love humor like that. I love to be the only one laughing in the movie theater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an awesome show. I'm just so bummed that it was only three seasons long. But the good news is they at least wrapped everything up, so it was in a nice little, you know, ribbon bow tied around it ending, so there weren't any cliffhangers or anything.
That's good. That's really good.
Even though they are talking about making a movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you make a movie? It's a sitcom, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make a movie out of a sitcom?
I don't really know. But I know that everybody wanted more. Everyone that's watched it is like, more Arrested Development!
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is hilarious. And so wrong.
Very wrong. I've heard that from so many people that it's just such a great show. I don't know why I haven't... Oh, I know why. I just don't have any free time.
About that whole thing.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But yeah, I that's definitely on the list to watch for me. Cool. Okay, so my last pick is probably even more obscure than my previous pick, and I have to pick it, and it sucks because there was only one series of it. Again, it's a British show. There's only one series of it, and I would give my left testicle if they would continue making this show.
Wow.
I that is no exaggeration. And that's Garth.
I could see a lot of press.
Yeah.
What about your right one?
I, you know, I'd probably give that one too, because I don't plan on having kids, so I don't really have a need for them.
Oh, yeah, it wouldn't really be a problem then.
Exactly. Okay. But the show is Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, and it's like a parody of a parody. That's what's so crazy about it. It's so hard to describe the show. It is a show made recently, so like in the 2000s. But it's about this guy who's a writer, and he got picked up to make a TV show. But it got filmed, but it never got put on TV. So what he's doing is he's going back with himself, the guy who directed it, and some of the actors, and they are commenting on the show while you watch the show. So it's like super meta, right? It's like two levels above. There's this show that you're watching, and then like the actors in that show are commenting on it as like they're real life people, but it's actually actors playing those real life people as actors in this show. And the show is like the worst thing you've ever seen.
That's what's hilarious to me about it is, like, if you've ever done any video editing whatsoever, like, they make all of the biggest mistakes, like the most obvious editing mistakes ever.
It's so intentional, right? I mean, that's how it's written. And so there's all kinds of continuity errors, like somebody's standing there with a cup of coffee in one scene, like in one scene talking to somebody. It cuts away and it comes back and he's holding a pitchfork. I mean, just random crap like that. And the funny thing is, like, one of the guys he's not an actor. One of the guys acting in it wasn't an actor, but they needed somebody to act in it. So he said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And he is, like, the worst actor you've ever seen act ever, period. And he's, like, he's looking at the camera a lot of times when he's supposed to be looking at the characters he's talking to. And, you know, he delivers his lines extremely horribly. It's just so funny. I can't even explain how good the show is. And the funny part is that guy who plays the bad actor is actually one of the guys from the IT Crowd. And one of the other... It takes place in a hospital. So Dark Place is this hospital. And so it's this hospital that has like this paranormal stuff going on. And so all these really strange things. It's sort of... Garth Marenghi's kind of supposed to be sort of like Stephen King. And so this Dark Place show is sort of like a show based on a Stephen King novel. So it's, you know, that kind of stuff going on. But imagine that filmed and created as poorly as possible. And then people commenting on it and how they had such a great time when they were shooting this and how this one scene took them 100 times to do it. And then you watch it and it's like the worst thing you've ever seen. And it's so funny. And Matt Berry, he's an actor. He's also in the IT Crowd. He plays one of the doctors in Dark Place. And Matt Berry is one of my favorite actors. He is so funny. Oh, man. If you don't know who Matt Berry is, just go on YouTube and search Matt Berry and watch some of the stuff that he does. Good stuff.
Definitely.
I'm so sad. There's only like 6 episodes or something of that show.
I need to finish. I only saw like 3 or 4 or something like that.
Yeah, you need to watch the rest of them. It's just ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. I can't even explain it any other way.
Yes.
So that's it. That was it right then. That's it.
Is that it? Is that it?
I think that's it.
Pretty sure that's it.
Oh, I wanted to do an honorable mention for TV shows for me because nobody else said this one. I thought one of you might. Honorable mention would be, and this is one of the ones where it got canceled in the middle and it sucks. And I haven't watched the movie yet, so I guess apparently the movie resolves some of the stuff, but Firefly.
Yeah, that was almost on my list.
That's
almost.
I like that series a lot.
Oh, man, that is such a good series. You need to see the movie. It pretty much wraps up everything.
That's what I heard. I need to rewatch the series because it's been a while since I've seen it, so I'm kind of, you know, removed from the story. But I don't know. Nobody must have watched it, like, when it was on TV. Like, absolutely nobody. Yeah. Because if they did, they would have continued watching it. Or it was just on at a really bad time or something.
He's probably on with Power Rangers or something.
That cast had so much chemistry. It was such a good show. Good cast. Everything about it was awesome.
They were all in Halo ODST or something.
Yeah.
And they said that was the best part of the game was the voice actors in the game.
Oh, no. I watched the opening cutscene from it, and it was like, oh, this is awesome. Mm. I still don't want to play the game, but that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really sad that got canceled. It was such a good show. I thought it was way better than both Buffy and Angel and every other thing I've seen by, what's that guy's name who created it? Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Like, I like Buffy. I'm not gonna lie. I like Buffy. Especially the first few seasons. Like, after that, it started getting a little weird.
Yeah, and I agree.
I never watched Angel, so I can't really comment on that. But I would agree that I think Firefly is, I think, just as a basis, you know, as a premise for a show, is way better than Buffy was.
But yep, it was super sweet.
I think that if Firefly had been on or had come on TV in a period where, you know, DVRs were more popular like they are now than they were then, I think it probably would have stayed on.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Probably so, because Joss Whedon has a huge cult following.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's doing... there's some movie that he's doing soon. What is this? Oh, jeez, I have to look this up because I was surprised that he was doing it. I don't know if it's a video game movie or what, but he's doing something that's coming out soon. Maybe it's a comic book movie. He co-wrote the Captain America movie, the new one, and he's directing the Avengers movie, the Avengers movie.
Oh, right.
That's it.
Sweet.
Yep. So, interesting. Joss Whedon does a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You need to see that movie. I'm telling you.
Oh, no, I know. It was one of those things where, you know, crap hit the fan right when we were finished watching the Firefly series and just never got around to it. Had some square to it, but not around to it.
It happens, bro.
Yep. So that's it then, huh?
Yeah, let's wrap this puppy up. Plugs?
Oh, man, we never do that at the beginning anymore.
Man.
Okay. I think we just should plug orderoftier.com now, because you can get to everything else from orderoftier.com. Yeah.
Yes. You can also purchase our physical CD now.
That's true. I don't have a link up there yet on the website, but there's a video that we made or that's up there that has the link to it. So check out our YouTube page. What else? Oh, email us podcast@orderoftier.com. We want to answer your questions. We want to respond to your hate mail.
Yes.
We want to sycophantize your love mail. What? Never mind. Yes. Just email us.
Whoa.
For sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess that is it then, correct?
Sycophane. Maybe that's the way you say that. I don't know.
All right. Well, until next time, this is Donna signing out along with
Jordan
Mike Cameron.
B. Sanders. Man, this is so awkward. And Jordan B. Sanders, man. This is Jordan B. Sanders, and I'm done with this shit.
Mike the Hammer K. Deuces.
I always get this wrong.
Is this the most awkward outro ever? I think we just cue out the music.
Hit the button! Hit the button! Hit the button!